Heavenly Father, you say in James chapter 3, verse 1, that not many of us will become teachers, my brothers, knowing that we shall receive greater judgment. So let it be, Father, that you use me to teach your people, that I decrease and the Lord Jesus Christ increase. It's your name I pray, amen. Daram, I need you to click over for me. I don't think it's reaching for us. All right. So I'll give it to you. So a series that I have for y'all is called the Shaking and the Shifting Series. Shaking in the Shifting Series. I was in prayer and leading up to even the meetings with the board members, the elders, and I kept on hearing this shaking and shifting that is coming to God's people. So not only to God's people, but we're seeing it all around the world, even in earthquakes in diverse places. We're living in a time of waking up, you can say. So it's a time to wake up. And when I heard the Lord say this, his people were going to be shaken very thoroughly and shifted very surely. And it's a good thing, as we'll see in the following. Next slide, please. So we read it in Hebrews chapter 12, starting at verse 25. It says, "Take heed not to refuse the one speaking. For if those did not escape who refused the warning on earth, much less we who turn away from him, from heaven, whose voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven." And that's taken from Haggai 2:6. Next slide. 27 says, "This phrase, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that have been made, that those things which are not shaken may remain." So there it is, that those that are not shaken remain. Remember on Christ the solid rock, we form our foundation. "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have favor whereby we may serve Jehovah acceptably with reverence and fear. For indeed, our Elohim is a consuming fire." Deuteronomy 4:24. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Consuming fire. "Yet, who was standing with them? One like the Son of Man," Nebuchadnezzar said. So God shakes things to show us what is eternal and ultimate and what is temporary. The author of Hebrews says that God shakes things to reveal what cannot be shaken. Plain and simple. That's what he's trying to do for us, even as a church, as a family. Here at Oakhurst, he's trying to do that. Next slide, please. Luke 22. We see the shifting. Verse 31, "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have all of you, that he might shift you as wheat. But I pray for you that your faith would not fail you. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Rabbi, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." That's as many as us feel, that we're ready to go with Jesus. That we're ready. But what did he say? "When thou art converted." It was still, he thought he was fully converted, but this is even before the rooster crowed three times. So he, but his word, he was like, "I'm ready. I'll go with you." Just like with Thomas, had said that too. Everybody remembers doubting Thomas, but I remember Thomas when he said, man, if he goes into Jerusalem, let us go with him and we'll die with him too. So they felt they were all ready. Some of us feel like that today too. We feel we're ready, but still, there's still a conversion, God says, fully to the individual. Just like what they said today, when the beautiful song that she sang, that many of us feel like there's some things that we cannot do, get through, she said, and that we're just holding on to or struggling. We really need Christ fully. Next slide, please. So in this series, we're going to cover Christ like never before. Christ the Alpha and the Omega, Christ the Mediator, Christ the Advocate, and Christ the Hope of Glory, in order to be able to come through what's about to happen. For the purpose of this series is to draw us closer than never before to Christ, to be ready for what is coming upon us as church and the world. Because remember, what did Peter say? He said, first the judgment shall come upon what? The church. I heard it. Church. Next slide, please. So as the Alpha and Omega, we should be familiar with the verses we read in Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith Yahuwah, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And he said unto me, it is done, in verse 21:6. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. We know that verse very significantly, what he says, that he is that water. Remember the Samaritan woman at the well? Give me this water. I'll give it to you. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Beautiful verses that we hear. So where is this taken from, the Alpha and Omega? Next slide, please. That was taken from these verses. So that was in Greek. This is in Hebrew. The New Testament written in Greek. Old Testament in Hebrew. There it is. Isaiah 41:4 says, who has worked and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? Ah, Yahweh, the first and the last. I am he. So now we get Jesus speaking to Isaiah, because now we know who is the Alpha and the Omega. It was none other than Christ speaking to John. So then who has to be speaking to Isaiah here? It has to be Jesus Christ. This is what Yahweh, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, Yahweh of armies, says. I am the first. And I am the last, and besides me there is no God. The only God that Isaiah knew, speaking to him in this presence. It says it right there. Isaiah 48:12 says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he, I am the first, and I am also the last. Same wording. And now we're seeing it in the Old Testament. Next slide, please. Hebrews 12:2, we know Jesus as the author and finisher of our faith, the first and last of our faith. In Revelation 1:17 and 18, we get this again. When I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, don't be afraid, I am the first and the last. The one living and the living one. I was dead and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of death and Hades. Living when life starts, the beginning, and death, the Alpha, at the very end. Next slide. Interesting about life and death. In John chapter 1:9, we read, he was the true light, which enlightens every man coming into what? The world. In Revelation, we read that he was our first love. Remember your first love. Where did we first fall in love with Jesus? At conception. John 1:4 says of Jesus, in him was life, and that life was the light of man. It's not a coincidence that at the moment you are conceived, light is seen radiating from a newly formed egg. Beautiful. Beautiful. The people of this world, the atheists, don't even know this. That he was right there. They came into the world through him as an explosion of light. The Bible says that that Jesus is light and gives light to every man coming into the world. Even at conception, it's a literal thing that happens at the moment of conception, the beginning of life. He is the Alpha. Next slide, please. So now we're going to dive in deeper. When John heard, I am the Alpha and the Omega, what did he say? He fell like a dead man, it says. We just read that he fell like a dead man. Something must have happened. He was well in the scriptures. That means all the scriptures came to him. He heard this following thing here. He heard, I am the Aleph and the Tav. I am the Aleph and the Tav. This is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet, and this is the last. So when we read it in Greek, the first letter of the alphabet and the last in Greek. But in Hebrew, he was astonished. He's like, you are him? The Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Tav is the last letter. 7,000 times the Aleph Tav signatures appear in the Old Testament. 7,000 times. He's there. But what happened? When the translators went there to look at it, should we put AZ here? That's how it came about them. Should we put A and Z next to this wording? I don't understand that. I don't know why they would put AZ when they were translating the Bible. So they left it out. They left out AZ everywhere in the Bible. Which makes sense. I mean, even us, if we read it, like, why would they put AZ? Why would they put AZ here? But it's because it was a more deeper meaning, and we're about to see it. Of course, we read it in Revelation 1, verse 11, 17, Jesus speaking. Jesus identifies himself as the Aleph and Tav to John. The Aleph means here an ox head. It means strength. Boaz, remember Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, in him is strength. Tav is a mark of a blood covenant. Tav is a symbol of a cross in the old Hebrew Testament. So Aleph and Tav equals strength of the blood covenant. Beautiful. Beautiful. Next slide. This is how it looked like. This is ancient writing. All these here are so ancient that these writings, these were considered the first language, the first alphabet to exist in the world. This is so old, they found this in caves before. This is so old, they have found this in the stars. And who put the stars in place? God. Beautiful. The gospel in the heavens. Each word significant is very significant in its meaning. And there it is, sacrifice of a cross. This is what they would run into. And of course, in the newer versions, it evolved to just like that. This one, of course, the cross is this one. This one here is that one. Next slide. Genesis 1:1. So he's right at the what? The Aleph. He's at the very beginning, at the first scripture. Even at this, Bereshit. He's even in this word is so deep. You can even, this says God's Son would destroy sin with his work, all in Hebrew in just one word. It's beautiful. In the beginning, he created Elohim. There it is. And they skipped it. The Aleph and Taf, the heavens and the earth. He is the spoken word. Everything he created just by speaking. He was the word of God, just like we read. Next slide. John 8:12. Jesus as the Aleph and Taf here in Genesis 1:4. Again, we see it. And God saw the light. The light. Right before the light is the Aleph and Taf. And remember, Jesus says, Jesus, the light of the world, in 8:12. So he goes even deeper and deeper what he's wanting us to know about the Aleph and Taf. When I was running into this a few years back, I had never left my mind, and I kept on going. And that's where I want to get to, where we're getting to today. Next slide. I said, okay, where are you exactly? And what significance is it? Beautiful story in Genesis 22. This is verse 13. But if we go to verse 8, what does he say in verse 8? When it's Isaac and his father there. In verse 8, I'll read it for us. It says, Abraham said, this is because of verse 7, he said, let's go to 7. It says, then Isaac said to Abraham, his father, my father, he said unto him, here I am, my son. He said, look, here's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Beautiful. And then we skip ahead, verse 13. Abraham took the ram, but right before the ram, in the Old Testament, himself, the Aleph and Taf. Just like what Abraham said in verse 8. Himself, the ram. Next slide. This is where it started astonishing me. Where I started seeing something that this means. Something great to us. Esau sells his birthright to Jacob. Remember that? Until Genesis 27:1, both have the Aleph and Taf before their names. After Jacob receives the blessing from Isaac, Esau's name appears after this 78 more times. Every time without the Aleph and Taf attached to his name. He chose to be separated from Jesus, the Aleph and Taf. Here's the shaking and shifting taking place. He was shaken and he shifted over. He chose what? To be separated. He sold his birthright. Let us not sell our birthright. Let us learn a lesson from this. This means so much for him to have the Lamb of God's name written next to him. And then what happened? It's taken away. Do you see where I'm getting here now? Next verse. Next slides. Meet Rahab. Remember Rahab? What happened at Rahab? What happened at Jericho? And those walls came tumbling down. When those walls came tumbling down, the shaking and shifting happened, right? But Rahab had made a promise even before that. Let's learn from Rahab here. Before the shaking and shifting happens, let's make a choice to Say, those are my people. That is my God. Accept me into y'all. Until Rahab is rescued and joined with Israel, no Aleph and Taf appeared with her name. So it didn't appear there yet. But until when she reveals her faith and is rescued and joins Israel, then after Joshua 6:23, the Aleph and Taf appear with her name. Beautiful. Beautiful. Her faith has joined her with Jesus, the Aleph and Taf, the Alpha and the Omega. Beautiful. Let's learn that lesson from Rahab. Next verse. Ruth and Boaz. Boaz, the kinsman redeemer that we just saw. Ruth was a Moabite, a Gentile. And what an honor that we read in Matthew, the genealogy of Jesus that she's included. Ruth's name used 12 times in the book of Ruth. The first 10 times, there is no Aleph and Taf next to her name. After she is redeemed by Boaz, the Aleph and Taf appear with her name the next two times. She is now joined with Jesus, the Aleph and Taf, the Alpha and the Omega. Beautiful. That commitment. Redeem me. She was redeemed by Boaz. Boaz said, you don't want her. You don't want her. I want her. And he took her upon himself. Beautiful story. All these stories, we know that has a meaning of Christ. Yet Christ was there in his stamp in these stories. Next slide. Here, it's kind of hard to read for y'all. Let me see if I can read it. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way. And Yehovah has laid in him, the Aleph and Tav, the iniquity of us all. Right there was his stamp. We knew who it was once we had our Bibles and reading it. But this is why John was so astonished and fell down. Because he couldn't believe that all these Old Testament scriptures, all these Old Testament stories were just awakened. Just his spiritual goggles just opened up. The scriptures just opened up more. Remember when Jesus resurrected and he went down walking with his two friends to the next city. And he opened up, it says, the scriptures to them. He gave them a Bible study. He let them know all this. He let them know what was going on with him in his life. Zechariah 12:10, and they look to me, the Aleph and Tav, whom they have pierced. It was right there. Unto me, Jesus. You see, Jesus could have just told all the priests, all the Pharisees, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, I'm the Aleph and Tav. But he didn't. He held it because he wanted their faith. He wanted them to believe without even that. He was already in trouble enough with them. But he was like, you know what? I shall reveal this to my bride. He held it back for us. So this came to my mind when I was studying all this. And I realized that he needed to do something with us. Just as with Ruth. Just as with Rahab, I found that in praying, earnest prayer, I said, what is the significance of this meaning? And he told me, It needs to be written upon us. So I said, can this be literal? Can you show me in your word that this is a literal thing then that happens to us? Next slide, please. We read it in Ezekiel 9. Then he cried in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause those who are in charge of the city to draw near, each man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Now these men are angels here. Behold, six men came from the way of the upper gate, which lies toward the north. He wasn't talking about north, east, south, and west. He was talking about straight up. Every man with his slaughter weapon in hand. One man in the middle of them was clothed in what? Linen. Different. Different. He looked different. He had a white robe on, clothed in linen. With a what? Writer's inkhorn by his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Next slide. The glory of God of Israel went up from the cherub, whereupon it was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed in linen who had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Yahweh said to him, go through the middle of the city, through the middle of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. Are we crying and sighing over all the abominations that we're seeing that's happening to our loved ones in the world? Or just like what the sister said, are we too busy worrying about what's here and now with ourselves? Look at the birds, Jesus says. They don't worry. If we believe in what's written in the word, we need to start worrying for those we know that are not saved, those that need to come to Christ before this time is over. We need to sigh and cry over the abominations that are taking place. And boy, are we seeing them more and more rapidly upon this earth. Next. To the others he said in my hearing, go through the city after him and strike. Don't let your eyes spare, neither have pity. Kill utterly the old man, the young man, the virgin, little children, and woman. But don't come near any man on whom is the mark, beginning at my sanctuary. Remember what I said at the beginning? Where should judgments first start? At the church. And that's Peter speaking. Where did Peter get it from? From here. Peter says, judgment shall first come upon the church. And here we see it. Then they began at the old man who were before the house. So where are they starting? At the church, at the sanctuary. They're starting inside first. They're starting at Esau. People that thought they were close to God. We have to be ready for the shaking and shifting that's taking place, because first it's starting at the house of God. He said to them, defile the house and fill the courts with the slain. Go out. They went out and struck in the city. Let us be ready for the shaking and shifting that's taking place, brothers and sisters. Next slide. While they were killing and I was left, I fell on my face and cried and said, "Oh Lord Yahweh, will you destroy all the residue of the house of Israel in your pouring out of your wrath upon Jerusalem?" And he said to me, "The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city full of perversion. For they say, Yahweh has forsaken the land, and Yahweh doesn't see." Let us not fall there. Because he's speaking to where? The house of God, the sanctuary, the church here. The iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah. So he's starting where, church? With us. And that's why we need to have the Aleph and Tav mark on us. Next slide. "For as me also, my eye won't spare, neither will I have pity, but I will bring their way on their head. Behold, a man clothed in linen, who had the ink cord by his side, reported the matter, saying, 'I have done as you have commanded me.'" Speaking to the Father. Jesus will say that too. "I have done." They're all sealed. Next slide. And Jesus will say this. "He who overcomes will be arrayed in white garments, in that linen too. I will in no way blot out his name out of" what? "The book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." It's okay, Rafi. It's all right. He probably wants to come up here with me. Church, we need to have and make sure that it says, Israel, put your name there, Aleph and Tav, Alpha and Omega. It's written in blood. We need to make sure that when the Father sees us, he sees that upon us. Written in blood. Redeemed upon our foreheads. Where is our minds? Because right here, the frontal lobe, is where we think, how we act, what our mindset is, how we worship, everything. And that's why he wants to place that today upon us. Are we truly ready to be married? Are we truly ready for this wedding that's coming? Are we truly ready to be married?